no one had anticipated that Pope Francis would name 13 new cardinals, 10 of them cardinal electors. In other words, that they're under the age of 80 and therefore eligible to vote in a conclave. There had been some speculation that he might name a few cardinals back in June, which is one of the traditional times for it. But Pope Francis catching everyone by surprise, as I said, and the list itself, though, is pretty consistent with his sort of process, his choices, as we have seen in the five other consistories that he's called. We're seeing cardinals who are very close advisors to him, as well as cardinals from the peripheries, something that Pope Francis has made a mainstay of his choices. And once again, for the most part, he has bypassed the larger archdioceses and sees around the world to appoint new cardinals from places that either had not had them before or are just highly unusual in his choices.
It is an interesting batch of locations that these men come from, but one thing of note is none of them come from North America at this point.
Yeah, the closest we could say for North America would be the Archbishop of Havana, who has impressed Pope Francis very much, I think, over the last couple of years, as we have seen Pope Francis have that outreach to them. In this case, it's Archbishop Juan de la Caridad Garcia Rodriguez of San Cristobal, Havana, Cuba. Also, the other closest would be Father Michael Czerny, who is Czech but of Canadian descent, of Canadian citizenship. So that itself tells you that that's an advisor to the Pope, but he is not actually a bishop or archbishop in Canada. Father Czerny, in fact, is one of the supporters and most trusted lieutenants of Pope Francis in helping him with the issues of migrants and the development of cultures.
How different is that for someone who is not a bishop to be named cardinal?
We have seen it before. It's not unheard of. The current regulations relating to the appointment of cardinals requires that if you are named a cardinal, you really need to become a bishop. The Holy Father is allowed to grant a dispensation for that. But it tells us a lot about the esteem that Pope Francis holds Father Czerny in, that he would actually go about naming somebody who is not a bishop already. And it is part of the Holy Father's genuine concern for this dicastery. It's the section for migrants and refugees, as I was mentioning, for the promotion of integral human development. Now, Pope Francis himself sort of keeps to himself the title of head of that department for migrants and refugees. That's how important he considers the role of caring for migrants and refugees around the world. So Father Czerny, who is a Jesuit, is very much somebody that Pope Francis trusts, relies on for advice and for leadership in that area. So this is a testament to sort of empowering him to function as well as possible in directly reporting to Pope Francis.
Talking about the new consistory, it will be coming in early October with Pope Francis naming new cardinals our guest this morning for this discussion, Dr. Matthew Bunsen. And as we see that there are not Americans on the list, so many things become politicized in culture and in the church, not immune from that. Maybe it ought to be, but that doesn't seem to be the case. These new cardinals announced on Labor Day not long ago, but already articles being written about what it means or doesn't mean. We need to be careful for not I think politicizing all of this too much, but for those looking for some meaning behind it, is there any meaning to be taken out of in terms of how America was or wasn't represented in this particular go-around?
Well, the American contingent is still a very large one, and we still have a number of cardinal electors in any prospective conclave, and that's always sort of the demarcation line, how many electors are from an individual country. The last time that an American was named, or I should say United States cardinal, so to speak, was in 2016. So Pope Francis, I think, is continuing on his pace, as we have seen throughout his pontificate, really reaching to the peripheries, of going to far-flung places of the world to make sure that every corner of the world is represented. One of the ways to approach this, I think, is to look at Francis's vision for the College of Cardinals in one of its most traditional and basic roles, and that is to provide advisors to the Pope. There's always this tendency to, as you note, to look at things sort of from a political lens. But Francis also looks at it from the fact that he wants to hear from people all over the world. And if that's his goal, then he's certainly choosing people from the far-flung corners of the globe. I think we go to Indonesia, where he appointed somebody. We go back to Africa, where he appointed someone. We also go to Morocco, where the Pope recently visited and was very impressed with the churchman that he found there, and that's Archbishop Cristobal Lopez Romero of Rabat, Morocco. So we're seeing with Francis that he wants advisors around him. So it looks very untraditional, but in a way, it's very traditional in his choices.
Any other particular, appointments or omissions of note?
Yeah, I think one that did sort of jump out at me when I was looking at it was Archbishop Jean-Claude Olleric, who is a Jesuit, who is the Archbishop of Luxembourg, who was actually named to that post by Pope Benedict XVI in 2011. He is president of the Catholic Bishops' Conference in the European Union, but he's also somebody who is very actively involved in looking at the situation in the EU, but he is also fluent in Japanese. He was an instructor of seminarians and vocations director and was vice-rector at the Sophia University in Tokyo. So I had actually the chance to interview Archbishop, now Cardinal-elect Holleric, during last year's Synod of Bishops, and he'll be there again this year, not just for his elevation or creation as a cardinal, but also to help out with this upcoming Amazonian Synod. So this is the type of person I think that you can see Pope Francis tapping, somebody who has that European experience, but also a real breadth of knowledge about the Church around the world.
And maybe just from a convert's perspective a little bit, and, you know, with all due respect to these men who have put in a lifetime of great service to the Church, but does sometimes the squabbling over who or who isn't appointed and some of the situations like this, just a lot of inside baseball compared to the, you know, what's on the minds and hearts of the average parishioner?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think it's easy to get caught up with who's doing what, who's not getting this. You used the phrase inside baseball. I think that's a very fair way of putting it. One thing that we can say, though, is that Pope Francis has now directly appointed 67 electors out of the 128 cardinal electors. That number is actually going to come down a bit over the next few months, but the gist of it is that he has now chosen the majority of the electors in the College of Cardinals. So there were 42 left, created by Benedict XVI and 19 by John Paul II. So this marks a real significant turning point, I think, in the makeup of the College of Cardinals, and it more and more is a reflection of what Pope Francis wants. Now, we always have to say, we can overthink things, that you can't make assumptions of how any future conclave is going to turn out. The history of the papacy, certainly in modern times, would make us very leery to do that.